to talk. I got to tell what I feel. I got to talk about my life as I see it.
They're going to get better, like, over time. So we're going to I feel like sometimes at people from Chicago, or being Chicago fans, or if you're a Cub fan, you think about this core and you kind of hone in on them and you just don't look at moves that were made around them as well as other teams.
Down in distance.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the final Down in Distance podcast of 2016. It's only right that we have everybody, the whole fam in the studio, Jared Payton alongside my man Sean Davis, SD2Mikes on Twitter. I'm at Payton Sun, PAYTONSUN. We got to give a shout out to our sponsor, though, of Down in Distance, Gage Diamonds, specializing custom engagement rings with certified hand-selected diamonds for its exquisite design that will last a lifetime. 0% financing for 12 months. Gage Diamonds, engagement's middle name in Chicago's vibrant River North Bridal District. Go to gagediamonds.com. Sean Davis, man, I'm not long-winded today, man. We got a lot of stuff to get into today, and you sent me.
And we cut it short.
Well, we cut it short?
Yeah, we could have done 4 hours today.
Well, we got to get into it, man. The stage is yours, man. I'm just here to participate.
As always, end of the year, final podcast where we pretty much review everything in sports, music, and culture. And we try to have everybody that were on the podcast or contributed to the podcast over the last year. And we have 5 guests in studio today. So we're going to start off to my left, BC, Mr. Crawl4D on Twitter. Pretty much every publication you can imagine. Matter of fact, just wrote a really dope series on Chicago legends, high school legends, for men and women. And Chicago Red Eye, shout out for that, because I thought that was a very dope series.
What don't
series
you do,
you just
man?
Did.
Man, what don't you do?
The agitator in chief is in the building.
Oh. We got nicknames.
I can't wait.
Next to him, well, I'll just introduce Joe and Scott, 79th and Hallis, the hot podcast, man. Look, if you want some real raw sports talk, music talk, and just culture talk, go right now, follow these cats, Scott _ CEO
of SUH,
and Flows and Dolini.
And we on iTunes now.
Flow and Dolini, right?
Flows and Dolini.
I never knew how to
on
pronounce
Twitter.
That. I ain't even gonna.
That's from Godfather.
And that voice you just heard right there, none other, Chicago's own. He's a legend. He doesn't even know he's a legend, but that dude is an icon, man.
Been hearing that too many times.
If we go back 5 or 6 years, sitting on State Street in the studio. This guy told us about trends 5-6 years ago that are just hitting the day.
True.
That's real talk.
Humble brag.
That's real talk.
Damn told me I got a humble brag.
Artists that performed on your show before they popped off.
Before they popped.
BC was there.
Yeah.
Bang was telling him he's going to pop. He's going to hit. Mm-hmm. People were like, we don't see it. Right now, he's probably the hottest independent artist. Period.
Let's not talk about that.
We'll get into that.
Let's not talk about that.
But I'm just letting everybody know this guy is a trendsetter.
He is.
J.R. Bang.
Radio I'm gonna take all of that because
St. Louis, D.C., Philly,
Baltimore. I'm gonna take all that though because I was told I got to start humble bragging. So
hey,
I'm gonna start doing.
Listen,
that.
Man. Each one of you that's in this room is doing big things, man. So that's what's up, and it's only right to be able to end this year, 2016, as we were talking before the podcast started, just about all the people that are leaving this earth in 2016, man, like legends in their craft and what they do. It's mind boggling to start thinking about, man, time speeding up as we get older, right? And so for us in this entire year, a lot of stuff has happened in 2016, sports and music. I think we need to kind of break it down. Sean, you had the list, and I looked at the list, and at the top, it had the Chicago Cubs at the top.
It's the biggest story of the year.
Just because it's the biggest story.
Biggest story of the year.
Of the year, when we look at, especially being here in Chicago, and you talk about a World Series, getting to a World Series, what it means for this city, for Cubs fans, but also a Game 7 that, like, I mean, you just, when you say Game 7 in any sport, when you're talking about it, it brings up some type of emotion where you're like, it's real. And it didn't disappoint at all in that Game 7, the Cubs versus the Cleveland Indians. So much went on, but for me, it was the culmination of everything that happened that entire year. And Sean, one of the things that you had written down was kind of like the memory. And for me, the memory started. I know everybody has a memory of that game seven and through, you know, the postseason. I knew things were jumping off with this Cubs team when they felt a little bit relaxed, even though they knew that they had that bullseye on their back. Because, listen, I've been in that situation before. 2001, coming into that season, everybody's like, y'all going to win this championship. And it's hard not to listen. And Bang, you were talking about, you know, bragging a little bit.
Gotcha.
I mean, I'm on South Beach walking into clubs, and I see Heat players out there waiting like, hey, Haynes, can we come in with you? Bro, y'all can come in. Like, right? It's hard not to, like, feel yourself.
Me.
Right? Yeah, they with me. Y'all buying bottles, though. I mean,
right.
I'm using my cane card to swipe for all my food. You buy bottles.
Right.
And to not have, you know, to start really feeling yourself. And I think it was watching these guys in spring training enjoy themselves, doing the karaoke, starting the Grandpa Ross. The Grandpa Ross Instagram account and them having fun doing that. A special year. But when you guys think about this year for the Cubs in 2016, what's the first thing that jumps to your mind?
Look, man, I'm not going to even front. Everything that you just said, I don't know nothing about.
Okay. Like, it's all good.
Not even a baseball
fan. It's all good.
You know, I'm a casual Cubs fan.
I understand.
You know, for me, I think the thing that stands out to me the most about this entire season is, like, just, you know, just hearing the buzz and seeing the buzz and feeling the buzz and somewhere in the back of my mind thinking, man, they probably not going to do it. Because, you know, we've been here before. We've seen this movie before where, you know, you had good Cubs teams even last year. We thought they was going to do it and they pulled it out. But, you know, obviously Game 7 was classic, man. I'm like, when I say a casual baseball fan, I'm like a casual basketball fan. I'm that dude that'll, you know, turn the game on the last 2 minutes. I'm one of those types of, you know, not necessarily basketball fan, but in relation to baseball. So I watched, you know, the playoffs and that Game 7, man, when that rain came in, I was like, yo, like, they got this. I just remember sitting up, man, and just my heart was just beating fast because it was like I wanted to see him do it. I wanted to see him win. So for them to pull it out, you know, and see the turn up in the city, man, and, you know, to go through Wrigleyville and see all those people out there, that was dope, man. What was it, 100 and how many years?
108.
108 years? Like, that's, man, that's a party that's been waiting to happen for a minute, man. So, you know, I'm a Southsider. I'm a Southside casual Cubs fan. My grandfather was a Cubs fan. So, you know, it was good to see the team. You know, it's always good to see Chicago pull it out and win a championship. So, for me, 108 years, man, you can't beat that. You can't script that anymore.
Oh, Sox fans in the building, though. Yeah, Sox fans in the building. This is we talked already. This was pre-World Series. Yeah. So, I mean, the conversation was, if they get there, how big is it going to be? Is it going to trump, you know, the Bear, all that stuff? And we had that conversation, and you guys left with a little bit of a different, you know, thought. Now when you see how everything unfolded, you still feel the same way?
No, I still think it's very big for the city. Obviously, I don't think it's going to surpass 85 Bears hype anymore, any longer. But I think when you was talking about, like, what word you think, I think kind of like dominance. Like, this is a team that was number one from the first day of the season. And I kind of think just the way they came back. And it was also kind of funny to me that you had a Cleveland team in the Cavs in the NBA coming back from 3-1. Mm-hmm. And then in baseball, they blow a 3-1 lead. Like, to me, that was super funny. And Game 7 was just a classic game. Like, I remember, I think it was Rajay Davis hit the 2-run homer.
Yeah.
It tied the game. And then I actually think the rain delay was the best thing to happen to the Cubs.
Oh, it's the best thing.
Like, the momentum was all on the Indian side. I don't believe in momentum too much in baseball. But with this particular situation, it was, like, all on the Indian side. And then they had, like, a little timeout, and the Cubs just came out right away. And I think it was big for them, and I think it's a team that's going to compete for a nice little minute. I think they'll be racking back in the World Series next year.
You know, when it comes to the Cubs, I think I was the one who said they would be bigger than 85 Bears. I'm going to retract that statement.
Yeah, that never happened.
Really? See, I was born in 1990, so, of course, I did not get to witness it, but I still know of the 85 legacy. My mother and father will – I'll see a game with them. They'll walk in and say, and they'll walk out and say, well, it ain't 85. They'll still talk about it to this day. Now, the Cubs are very dominant, but I don't know if their dominance matches 85.
No.
Yeah, I watched the games, and I saw what they did. I mean, the playoffs looked like a breeze from what I was watching. I mean, how many points did they give up total? Maybe, what, 14 or something?
Yeah, I think so.
But – The Cubs are definitely a top Chicago team all time, but
yeah, that would never happen just off of the strength of
Super Bowl shuffle.
No, not even that. It's not even that, but it's the attention spans we have now is just so quick now.
That's true.
So it'll always be in our minds that the Cubs won the World Series. When we debate with Sox Cubs stuff, you know, we are always we could both debate with each other and both of us have a ring in our lifetime. Ain't nothing bigger than Chicago Bears winning in 1985. With that being said, I was in St. Louis last year, and to see the people in St. Louis get so hurt that they lost to the Cubs in the NLDS, it wasn't just that they were hurt because they lost. They were hurt because they know it's switched.
It's over
for us for a while.
Because they own the Cubs forever.
So when we end up, I'm going to say we, because I don't want no rapper getting mad at me talking about some, you know, we ain't together. Yeah, rapper. It was rappers that was mad and upset that White Sox fans wasn't together with Cubs fans.
And they
feel like that's the reason the rap scene. Yeah, that was rapper saying that. But I digress. You know, the Cubs, when they lost to the Mets, I said to people in St. Louis, it's over. Because you just gave them a little bit of success. So now that they have it, I can almost guarantee that the Cubs will win 3-5. Mm-hmm. The team is too young to not go back and win a couple of more. That's when the whole this team is bigger than might come. But for it to happen, especially in a year where, you know, people will be like, you know, if the Cubs win, you might as well look up because the world's going to end. World didn't end, but a whole bunch of people died.
And Donald Trump.
So, isn't that crazy?
It's crazy. Yeah. But you look back and you just say, man, it was incredible for it to happen in the way that it happened. How did it happen with the rain delay, Jason Hayward talking to the team, 7 games, Cleveland losing the 3-1 lead, like Golden State lost a 3-1 lead, karma, all that stuff. It was
Perfect storm.
Great moment for the city. Great moment for sports, period.
It's going to be a fire 30 for 30 in a couple.
Yes, it is.
Oh, you know what?
If they're doing 30
listen,
for 30.
Listen, if they do a 30 for 30, already the Cubs DVD that they released, like the World Series DVD.
They released that already?
Yeah, we got that from my son for Christmas. And just popping it in for the first 15 minutes, you're like,
I didn't even know they still do that.
Yeah, man. It's pretty.
I
don't know if it's Sports Illustrated, but it's just, I mean,
I think it's like MLB.
It's one of those MLBs that, and the Cubs, and just to hear the stories. And I want to go back because, bang, you were talking about the moment, like having one of those moments for the city. And, you know, you think about how this team is going to be set up. Who said it, Scott? Who said you think they're going to be lined up for the next couple of years?
Yeah, 3-5.
Right?
Yeah. All
right,
3 out of 5.
We think about this, and I started just looking at the ages, which is crazy to me. You have Almora and Addison Russell, both 22 years old, right? Kyle Schwarber and Javi Baez, 23 years old. Wilson Contreras and Chris Bryant, both guys, one guy, the MVP, both 24 years old. So we're talking about this young core.
They're not even in their prime. Yet.
They're not even in their prime. It's scary to think about maybe how good Chris Bryant can be, which that we're talking about. He's a youngster still.
I'm going to break this down for you real quick.
Break it down.
They're at that age, right? They're set up in a way that when one of them even looks like they're starting to break down when they turn 28, 29, you can trade them and get more young prospects from another team because they'll be thirsty to get them.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Cubs are set up for, we're talking about
10 years. Contending, yeah.
But they're set up for a good 15, 20 possibly when you think about how you can trade and get other prospects, get them young and come up.
But we saw even in, already in the offseason, we've started to see other teams, you know, they're going to get better, like over time. So we're going to. I feel like sometimes people from Chicago or being Chicago fans, or if you're a Cub fan, you think about this core and you kind of hone in on them and you don't look at moves that were made around them as well as other teams. I mean, Cleveland's going to be good for the next couple years.
And they got Edwin Encarnacion.
So that's my biggest thing. Can they get there? Yes. How hard is it? The struggle to win this year was tough.
But you know what, though, JP?
And hold up. Luck, though. Let me get to tell you. Luck is a big thing because they didn't have any big injuries to any of those guys that I was talking about. They weren't out for long, extended periods amount of time.
Well, Schwarber. Well,
except for Schwarber.
But they were so deep.
They're so deep it was all good. Can they sustain that? Can they have that luck on their side for the next 5-6 years?
You know what? I don't even really think it's luck, man. I think this World Series and this, you know, this run that the Cubs have, particularly over the last 2 years, is like it turned the page into a new chapter of Cubs history, right? Because prior to the World Series, the only thing we had been talking about was the curse. That's all that we've ever talked about. And then they get these bunch of young guys in there who don't care nothing about that, who just want to play baseball for the joy of the game. And now they've actually, reached the mountaintop. They've won the World Series. So I think you take that, and now you're writing a whole new chapter of Cubs history. So, like you said, Bang, they might be set up for the next 3, 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You know what I'm saying? So now it's like we at the next phase of like Cubs baseball, right, to me, in my opinion. You know, like that old Billy Goat curse and all that other stuff, that's a wrap, man. Like, this team is one. These young guys have experience winning. They know what it's like. They know how hard it is to win, like you said, JP. And I think a lot of that is going to carry over, and it's going to rewrite the book, so to speak.
Also, it's something that people in the 60s, 50s, 60s, 70s seen that I think we're starting to see now, even when it comes to a lot of sports, sustained excellence. You know, you got Tyronn Lue talking about this might the Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors might be the new Boston and L.A.
I agree with that.
You got the Cubs doing what they're doing. You have the Blackhawks doing what they have done. So that's in all sports what Alabama is doing in college football,
which is phenomenal.
It's until they meet the like
here we
you
go.
Think
BC.
About the 90s and you think about the 90s, the 80s. That. Then after that period of the 2000s where it just seems like everybody was talking about parity, it was the big word. But now it looks like we're going to that term of sustained excellence that we didn't see, but now we're probably going to start seeing. And then when we're getting old, we can tell our kids, like, yeah, the Cubs was winning every year. Every year we knew they was going
to
go.
Listen, it
was
Bang,
like a return to how it used to be, basically.
Bang, to your point about the sustained excellence and having all of these young guys, I see three clear advantages for the Cubs to be able to compete over the next decade. One is that most of these young guys are signed up through 2020, 2021. I mean, so we don't even have to have these conversations for another 5 years.
Yeah.
Two is that the game plan from the jump, and it has obviously worked, is to build up the position players, build it through the farm system, buy your arms. And if that's your game plan, then you're always going to be in a position to fill in that extra piece, whether that's Aroldis Chapman or John Lester, you know, whether you're going for the bullpen or for a starter. And three, we now have the mystique that our guys are going to be good. So they now have more value just by virtue of being in our system.
Mm-hmm.
When other teams look at our guys, they go, oh, well, is this the next Elmore? Is this the next Schwarber? Is this, you know, Theo, he must know something. That you can't put a price on. That is huge in the sustainability.
Well, I love the fact that you talked about not having those conversations. Like, you don't have to. That's the hardest part when you're trying to build something that's super great, because there's always that turnover. But when you have cores, and we've seen it in other situations where you're going to have some, for the Blackhawks, they had to pay for it.
Yeah.
Right? Now you have to look at how their cap is kind of, NHL cap is kind of set up. But you still have Jonathan Toews, Patrick Kane.
You got a core.
You got a core. And if you can have that core and you don't have to touch that core, then you can build around them and how they've won. You just talked about it. We got to go out and find another arm. It might not be a role as Chapman, but we got, you know what I mean? So you just got to fill in pieces there once you have that core. To me, it's probably it's the best way to be set up. It's harder to do. And I think we're starting to see, especially with the South Side, trying to figure out what's next. You know what I mean? Like what's next? And, man.
I kind of think even what Bang was saying about how, like for this, like, kids who are young Cub fans, they're not going to remember the era before them. All they remember is going to be winning. And I kind of think that goes to changing the culture. And that's kind of like what basically what Theo did. Like, remember, a lot of people got on Theo for not going out to get Albert Pujols, not getting Prince Fielder about 5 years ago. And he was like, just chill. I got this. And that's kind of like what happened with the Blackhawks. Like, people forget the Blackhawks didn't even come on TV for a nice little minute. You know what I'm saying? And then they got, they drafted Taze, and they drafted Kane. And before you know it, this team, they're number one in the National Hockey League right now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They've been having a lot of injuries, but it's that culture to the fact where they're kind of like the Spurs were. We're like, as long as they get in the playoffs, it doesn't even matter what seed they are. And eventually, like with the Cubs, I think what you're going to start seeing is they might be the next Yankees. What we saw with Jeter and Pettig and, you know, the even core four, like, pretty much.
Yeah. With Mickey Mantle and all of them cats. I'm looking to that.
Yeah, man, let's not get too ahead of ourselves. Yeah.
But no.
It has that promise, though.
That's why I said sustained excellence. Like, this team, I mean, we say, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves because we ain't never seen it.
Right.
But our grandparents saw it. When you went into the season, you knew the Yankees was going to win the pennant. And if they didn't, that means somebody was drunk. And they ain't feel like playing in the playoffs or in the World Series. Like, that's what I mean by sustained excellence. I don't see a reason for this team not to win 3 out of 5.
Let me ask you guys this. Did anyone else get the feeling during this season that history was irrelevant? That it still existed, but no longer had a factor on what was happening at Wrigley Field?
No, I didn't believe
because
that.
Because I always had, as a Cubs fan, I always had that nervous energy when something, that here it comes energy.
And that was that Rodgy Davis home. That was, well, that dude.
That wasn't the first time.
It was before that. It was game three. I was at game three at home, and just the feeling of walking into Wrigley.
Right.
And sitting around people that were sitting down and having a good time, and then listening to people who were nervous. I've never heard that place so quiet in my entire life. It was that was the moment for me going, oh crap.
That was the preparation for the expectation of losing. That has hovered over the Cubs forever.
Game three was crazy, man. Like, silent. Go ahead, my bad.
I think history was irrelevant more so to the players. They looked so calm, even when they got down 3-1. Like, I hate the Cubs. You know, I'm a Sox fan. But at the same time, it got to a point where I said, okay, I don't want them to lose now. I want this for the city. I was okay with it. But they looked way too calm. I said, history's irrelevant to them. To other Cubs fans, they still look nervous. I would think I was watching Michael Wilbon tweet and was on ESPN.
Oh, my goodness.
It was just
up and down.
We got this news. Whoop, Kershaw's back again. And I was like, And, like, my mother, diehard Cubs fan, she cried when they won. And she was like, oh, not again. And I was like, okay. I can understand. I mean, it's 108 years. But for me, if I was a Cubs fan, I would look to the players to see how they were reacting. And they just, Chris Bryant, Rizzo, they just look calm. Like, we got this. Even they were down 3-1.
But you know what, though? There's a difference between, like, if you're an old Cubs fan, if you followed the team for years and you've experienced all of those disappointing moments, it's a little bit different than, you know, if you are, you know, a young guy on the roster, or, you know, you are young or new Cubs fan. Well, you don't know about, you kind of heard about it, you don't really care about that. Like, you taking the team for what it is at face value, for how they're performing on the field. And I think that's what those guys did. You know, every year, man, like every year from up until like the past few years, every year there was some mention of the curse at some point. You know, at some point the curse became a point of conversation. And with these guys, they didn't care nothing about that. Like, even if you asked them about that, they was like, that's, I don't know.
Kids don't care.
It's funny you talk about the youth, but I can't, the way things played out in that game seven, that home run, seeing Aroldis in the dugout during the rainstorm, and it's like, what happened in the locker room stopped what could have been coming. Yeah. Like, you could sense it coming back, even for them. Maybe that was the first time where they actually realized, like, man, it might be something to this curse thing. Right. We had this. This is crazy. And it took them getting together in the locker room to say, yo, no, we're not doing that.
And I think it probably, I haven't heard anyone say this, but I bet it probably also took somewhat of an outsider in Jason Hayward to say that.
Oh,
I mean,
goodness.
That because
I was just about
it's
to say
his first year on the team.
Yeah.
Played and because of his performance
to step
he
up.
Had been sort of separated from the bunch when people are talking about the great talent.
But that shows you the
bogus,
greatness of the locker room, right?
That
shows you the greatness of the locker room.
Yeah, absolutely.
That somebody of that ilk that had not been performing up to what we thought he should have been performing up to, or the expectations, to be able to walk in the middle of guys like Schwarber, Bryant, Rizzo,
Jake,
gain their attention and say, yo, we got this. Let's
I've
go.
Been terrible.
Right. But let's yo, go. I suck.
Listen, I'll be honest.
But let's go.
I'll be honest with you. I don't know if I could have done that.
That's like Brock Berlin walking into the middle of your hood down in Miami. You already know what the looks.
It's unexpected, right? No, I'm
that's
for real.
Like,
no,
that's like Chris Paul calling out LeBron like, yo, this is what you need to do in the finals. Like,
right, exactly.
There you go. You had to get your Chris Paul dig in, didn't you?
Hey, no. I think we can all agree, though, if the rain don't happen, the Cubs probably lose that game.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that.
Yeah. It's a possibility.
It's a question.
The momentum has shifted. Like,
that Rajay Davis home
run. I think
run
it was in the
like,
cards for them to win, man. Yeah. Like, you know, like, and I don't really like to project out too much like that. But just the way everything happened, like, you come down from 3-1, and then, you know, you got Cleveland on the run, and then the rain happened. They pulled a tarp out. Like, you can't script that better than
I think,
man.
With every championship run in any sport, there's a pivotal moment. Like, even in NBA Finals, if Draymond Green don't get suspended, I think that series is over in 5. Like, I don't even think they come back to Cleveland.
Right.
So it's like you have, like, these little breaks as a team that you got to take advantage of. So
but
maybe
if,
the
but
rain
if,
delay
if
help.
Was a fifth, we all be drunk.
That's very true. That's very true.
Let's
so
go.
Before we get to our next topic,
we got to
next 5 years over under. I'm gonna put it at 2.5.
In five years,
how many championships do the Cubs have?
I'm going over because I already
over.
Said
you think they'll have 3 and 5?
Yeah,
I probably say like 2 and 5.
I'll say 2 and 5.
Two and
five. Total. I'll take 3. 2.
I want to say 1 only.
You can say 1. Look, and before we go to the next topic, man. I took a lot of heat because before, remember when they made all the moves, I think they had picked up Zobrist.
Yeah.
I think Bang was on this thread last December where I pretty much said, look, I don't understand all the excitement. The Cubs are pretty much the Cleveland Indians of the 90s right now. It's like you talking about this lineup that, like, dude. And I want Cubs fans, everybody to know how tenuous winning a World Series is. The margin for error is so small.
So small.
Literally, I trust Theo. So I'm going to go ahead and say 3. Mm. And the only reason I say 3 is because I trust Theo every year to make the right move. All right?
All right.
There is no World Series without Aroldis Chapman. Yeah. Period.
I know.
Period. Down 3-run, if they didn't have that horse to go to for multiple innings for 3 straight games, they don't win the World Series. He's gone now. So who replaced? People don't understand.
Homeboy from from Kansas City?
They got
Kansas
open
as a closer. Yeah.
As a closer.
Davis, right?
Yeah.
Right? No, he was at. Was he the closer?
He was the closer.
He's been hurt.
He got like a record.
Yeah,
he's
a record.
I forgot the record.
All right, cool.
But best on the market.
But with his arm, if they get in a situation, can he go multiple innings?
That's Satchel Paige.
Back to back game. You just listen, don't know, man. And look, the
under.
Indians, this is how. Cubs are best team, right? Yeah. We all agree.
Mm-hmm.
From day one.
Yeah.
They won 7 games with a team that was at like 70%.
Yeah,
look,
that is
I think,
true.
You know, to that point that you
it's
just
that's the challenge of winning a World
and
Series.
It's the same thing, though. It's like you have to take advantage. It almost didn't win, but
almost
you have to
didn't.
Take advantage even, of that situation.
And even the Indians, I think the Cubs have an easier path to the World Series. Like, the Indians going to deal with the Red Sox. Red Sox got a nice
I don't know, dude. The Cubs division,
Who in the Cubs? Let me tell you.
I see where you're going with
this. It's not about talent. See, if we just look at talent on paper, of course it looks like an easier path. The problem is the way to beat the Cubs, that's what they have to face. They're going to face teams with really good pitching staffs.
Listen, to the point you made about Theo Epstein, and I think right now, I mean, he's gotten to the point where you can't even question the dude.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, anything he do, you just got to trust
him.
Yeah, because you see what he did. Because you see what he did in Boston.
Yep.
He turned that around.
Yep.
Then he comes to Chicago and turned this around.
Yep.
So it's like he's earned whatever benefit of the doubt that you give him. Like,
and he's got pieces.
Like, you know, even if he pick up somebody and you like, what the hell is this? Like, I don't understand this.
Yeah.
Just rock with it.
Because the Wade Davis move was a really shrewd, smooth move.
Just rock with it.
Yeah.
I like that move.
Yeah.
To me, if you're going to lose Chapman, that's the best guy on the market. I think that's a nice addition to him.